from the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Also, welcome new affiliates to the huge Coast to Coast family of radio stations, KBUR-AM in Burlington, Iowa. Thank you. Hello. KDVE-AM in Tyler, Texas. KKLF-AM in Sherman, Texas. And KVSO-AM in Ardmore, Oklahoma. All new members of the Coast to Coast AM family. And more ratings in, by the way. Number one in Dallas on KLIF AM, number one in Cleveland, WTAM, and number one at my old station, St. Louis, KTRS, there in the city, the gateway to the west, where I'll be on Monday, by the way. Next hour will be the beginning of our three-hour open lines extravaganza. Here's some quick stories of the day. Let's see if the price really drops at the pump now. Crude oil prices closed below $50 a barrel for the first time in more than 2 months, declining by more than $5 a barrel in the past week on rising U.S. supplies and slower economic growth. While oil futures have fallen, their recent peak above $58 a barrel, prices remain more than 30% higher than a year ago. A provision in the $284 billion highway bill under consideration on Capitol Hill could open the way for more tolls on the nation's congested interstates. Get ready for this, marking a departure from long-standing federal highway policy that has traditionally frowned on collecting tolls to pay for roads built with federal tax dollars. So this could happen in a city where you live. In Iraq, insurgents set off at least 17 bombs there, on killing 50 people, including three U.S. soldiers, in a series of attacks aimed at shaking Iraq's newly formed government. An audio tape by one of America's most wanted insurgents now, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, warned that President Bush that there is more bloodshed to come. These well-coordinated attacks, and they were, also wounded 114 Iraqis and 7 Americans. In New Mexico, a call about a possible weapon at a middle school prompted police to put armed guards on rooftops, close nearby streets, and lock down the school all over a giant burrito. Someone called authorities after seeing a boy carrying something long and wrapped in a junior high school. The drama ended 2 hours later when the suspicious item that was wrapped was identified as a 30-inch burrito, I kid you not, filled with steak, guacamole, lettuce, salsa, jalapenos, wrapped in a tin foil and white T-shirt. The principal there said, "I didn't know whether to laugh or to cry." In Philadelphia, a third grader stuck 19 schoolmates with her mother's diabetes blood testing needle this week. One pricked student tested positive for HIV, though that is not official. No idea why the girl ran around the school to do this. She has been suspended. After years of promoting the chemical DEET, D-E-E-T, as the best defense against West Nile-bearing mosquitoes, the government, for the first time, is recommending the use of two other insect repellents, the repellents containing the chemical picaridin or the oil of lemon eucalyptus, offer long-lasting protection against mosquito bites, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Space Shuttle Discovery's launch will be delayed until July, according to NASA's chief. Amid concerns, the agency has not corrected the problem that caused the Columbia to break apart upon reentry in 2003. Michael Griffin, who took NASA's helm on April 14th, said the decision was made after a pair of safety reviews in recent weeks. Now, in a moment, we're going to talk some real science with an old friend of mine, Dr. Morgus. Get ready for this on Coast to Coast AM.
This hour of Coast to Coast AM is brought to you by United Healthcare. It just makes sense.
And we're going to take your phone calls in a moment as well with Dr. Morgus. Momus Alexander Morgus, also known as Dr. Morgus and Morgus the Magnificent, first shared his love of science to the people of New Orleans and Louisiana many years ago and has been on and off various stations since then, but there's some good news coming up there for people in that area. He also appeared in Detroit and was once syndicated He was the very first horror host to star in a feature film called The Wacky World of Dr. Morgus. I used to watch him on a regular basis when I was a kid back in Detroit. And then we talked about Dr. Morgus some time ago, a little before October of last year. I didn't know where he was anymore. You started to email me. You started to send me fast blast messages. We found Dr. Morgus and had him on in October, and he's back on again. We're going to chat about some real science with Dr. Morgus. Hello, Dr. Morgus. Good to have you back.
George, it's a pleasure, I tell you. I've been looking forward to this evening, and I believe before it's over, I think we'll have some interesting things happen here.
Excellent. You know, I was at a science convention about a month ago, and there were some scientists there, Doctor, who were very jealous of you because of your knowledge of science and some of the things you've brought to humanity. And I had to sit them down, and I had to tell them, I said, Dr. Morgus is a brilliant man. And they kept telling me, no, he's insane, he's off his rocker. But I fought them tooth and nail, Dr. Morgus. I stuck up for you in that science meeting.
You know, these guys, they're just jealous. They have accused me of stretching science beyond its limits and calling me things like the quack of quasi-science. Oh, but they look, what do they know? Here I am talking to the world tonight to a brilliant audience. Where are they? You know, they're having a martini somewhere.
You know, the price of oil has dropped just a little bit, around hovering $50 a barrel. And I keep wondering, Dr. Morgus, when are we going to get an alternative fuel source in this world?
Oh, listen, George, I don't know. I knew they were going to hit you with a suggestive thought implant, but I didn't think you'd bring this subject up so soon.
They can't get to me, Dr. Morgus.
I can't believe this. I tell you what, we may have to jump ahead here. You know, you have hit on the crisis of our lifetime here, because as you know, this planet we're spinning on here can only take so much of this. Coming out of the bowels of this wonderful planet, we have taken, what we're talking about, oil that took, what, 250 million years to get under there into the shale and in between the porous and the non-porous rock. And now we have extracted two-thirds of it, Bill. I mean, this is unbelievable. And what are we going to do with one-third of the oil reserves left? Don't let them fool you. Well, I must tell you, there is a Morgussian solution.
Oh.
George, I tell you what, I don't know how to start this, but let me ask you a question first.
This, yes, sir.
This may be a little off record here, but does this program have, well, let me ask you this. Do you have liability insurance for this show here?
Do I have liability insurance for this show? Well, I guess we do, Dr. Morgus. Why?
Well, I tell you what, you know, something could happen here tonight, and people traveling around but could be affected. I mean, what I'm going to reveal in a moment here, I think, concerning your concern, could damage some of the listeners out there. It could affect, maybe even cause a heart attack, or maybe people who are traveling could crash.
Well, we don't want that to happen. So can we warn them, give them a little leeway here that something is about to occur?
Well, let me tell you, you know what happened to Orson Welles, 70, 80 years ago? Remember the invasion of the Martians on radio?
Oh, yeah, the War of the Worlds.
That's it. You know what happened? They ended up suing the network and everybody because they put this out on the air and people just tuned in and thought it was the real thing at the time. And it was a panic in the streets.
Well, with you, it's always the real thing.
Well, with my case, you know, I was the first reality television presentation And then tonight, I tell you what, George, I don't know where to start with this, but we do have a Morgussian solution to this problem. And I have been, by the way, given clearance from my superiors of the higher order who are behind all of this to go ahead and open up tonight, because what you caused last few months ago when we had our intellectual intercourse,
yes,
here on the air, It was just phenomenal. In fact, by the way, I want to interrupt this, my own self. I very seldom interrupt myself.
True.
I must tell you, George, you infected them so much that they have raised you to a level 5.
Oh,
you
really?
You remember, you did receive a certificate.
I did receive a certificate.
And as you know, it's a secret order of august individuals and intellectuals both in and out of space.
Does this mean now I'm part of a secret society which I fight against all the time?
No. This is more than a society. This is the higher order, George. And I tell you, in due course time, the world will know all about it. But, George, you are now a doctor. I can call you Dr. Nuri. Because of this, you've got a DSD, which is really a doctor of scientific discourse.
Excellent. I'll start using that whenever I introduce myself.
Well, whenever it'll help your career, whatever. But I tell you, nonetheless, George, I just think this is marvelous. So, nonetheless, I must tell you that there could be panic in the street from, Wilshire Boulevard out there to Red Square tonight. Because I'm about to tell you what happened. We're talking about oil and what we have to do about it. You know, and I know, that we're running out of it, and we're being held hostage by these, princes of petroleum everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, you know what? I'm not so sure we are running out of oil, Dr. Morgus. I'm beginning to wonder if oil isn't a fossil fuel, if it's a natural part of the planet, and it somehow replenishes itself. Is that possible?
Yes, it's possible if you can hang around for about a billion years. I must tell you, George, your chief elements of oil, you know, is carbon and hydrogen, and of course a few other little ingredients and elements here, and organic animal matter caused it, actually. You know, oil actually is animal matter and organic, you know, plants and things. There were millions of plants on the earth, and of course when
how'd they get down there so far? Some of them are thousands and thousands of feet underground. How did the plants and animal matter get down that far?
Well, of course, when the Earth was formed, we're talking about when the Big Bang happened. Now, we're all familiar with the Big Bang, of course, when time began. But nonetheless, this took millions and billions of years before we even got here. I mean, there were other creatures on the Earth causing all of this. So there's a cause and effect for everything. But anyway, as you can see, oil was here, but we cannot replenish it that well. We'll have to come up with other procedures. And this is what I've got to tell you.
Okay,
George,
what do we have?
Here's what I want you to do. I don't think you have liability insurance. I think you should make a disclaimer at this point just to protect you and the program.
All right.
Could you make some kind of disclaimer?
Right,
you
don't
like to do on television.
All right,
you don't want the kids.
I shall do this. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you hear on the program coming from Dr. Morgus, you should not do at home. And those of you who are faint of heart, for example, be very careful to what you listen to, and also take it with a grain of salt. How about that?
That's
good?
That's great.
Thank you.
Because this is going to hit you right. Here it comes, folks. Either turn it off now if you don't want to hear it. George, last Friday, I think, was April the 22nd, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I had six people over here at the Old City Ice House Lab to witness the demonstration of what we are going to release to the world right here from this very humble beginning. What I had, friends, was my dear landlady, Alma Fetish, who actually owns the building. She lives downstairs there. I borrowed her car. She has a 1987 Ford. There were six people, brilliant, wonderful people, that could legitimately recognize what was going on. They examined everything. George, I removed all the gasoline from the tank.
Everything, okay.
I then took a water hose, a garden hose, and I filled the tank with water. I then opened a little compartment and pulled out a capsule, what I call a petrol pill, okay? It's about the size of a golf ball.
Oh, my gosh.
I dropped this into the tank, George. Within 30 seconds, we had 92-octane gasoline.
32 seconds.
This
92-octane gasoline.
I guarantee you, George, this is no phony thing here.
And you invented this capsule, Doctor?
This absolutely happens, and it's something that's going to change the whole dynamics of the oil industry. Now, I can see these guys right now just running up and down, say, wait a minute, get Wall Street on the phone.
or they're saying, let's capture this Dr. Morgus.
Well, look, we don't need, you talked about the barrel, what is it, down below $50?
A little below 50, yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's a little under 50.
Yes, under 50. Imagine, George, if you could take 1 gallon of this oil, okay, what we call crude, that's what they like to call it, crude. You take 1 gallon of crude, if you could turn it into 1,000 gallons, 1 gallon into 1,000 gallons, do you know that that can be done? I have done it. I have the formula. I have the schematics, and I have the way to make it, George. And I can show you in person. I know you think this is wild, crazy, and so will a lot of people. There may be a few crashes going on now, but let me tell you, George, this works. And the reason it works is because, well, first of all, you have to get into what everybody heard about that doesn't understand. That's quantum mechanics. The quantum mechanics, if you know, deals with the phenomena of extremely small-scale pieces, like such as a millionth of an inch.
Well, this is just a remarkable find.
You have to get into the bowels. I'm talking about of the protons in the liquid process within the oil itself.
How long have you been working on this, Doctor?
Well, they have been working on it. They sent me the schematics. They told me to go ahead and do it, release it now, because I think we're being strangled by all these fools around the world. And we are going to release this. Now, listen, George, this is where I hope not too many people are on the listening tonight.
Oh, Doctor, there's close to 5
George, I want you to play a part in this. You see, my life is going to be in danger. They told me that. And so I have taken the schematics, and I put it on a chip, and I have buried it into my body. I have implanted it into a part of my body where the sun doesn't shine, of course. And I'm protecting it, so no one can get to it. But they're going to try to get to me. Now, as you know, the Old City Ice House here where my lab is
yes.
surrounded by the feds.
In New Orleans, that's true.
But, George, I cannot run this company. If we're going to turn this out and let America take over the energy of the world and let everybody have this gasoline at a price that's affordable, and somebody else has to take this over.
Who?
My thinking of whoever gets this is going to be a very wealthy man.
Oh, really?
He's going to sit at the top of the world. He'll be sought after by people like Bill Gates and, what is it, Warren Buffett,
you mean
those
he,
guys.
This whoever it is may end up
oh,
in fortune?
Well, I tell you what. George, it has to be someone that I can trust, and here it comes. I guess you feel it already.
I do.
I want you, George, to get the formula. I want you to take this over. Because, look, I'm a scientist. I'm not someone that's interested in running, you know, a company or anything like that. In fact, I would be very unhappy about the burden of owning material things, believe me. I want to own knowledge, George, and I will be behind you, but I am going to give you the capsule. Now, we're going to have to implant the chip in your body that you will have it, and you alone will hold this.
Can I think about it?
Well, you'll be well... financed, for sure. You know, Wall Street's going to be calling you. Of course, your life will be in danger.
And will change. Can I still do my radio show?
Now, this is... I'm glad you asked. Of course you can. Look at Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes was kind of put away on top of some hotel over there in Las Vegas or other hotels. Nobody ever got to see him. And he ran an empire, George. You could be another Howard Hughes.
If I could still do Coast to Coast, Dr. Morgus, I would take this responsibility.
You can do world to world, George. You're going to do world to world. They're all going to be after. They want to listen to you. You will be the big daddy, the big kahuna, whatever you want to call yourself. This whole thing is going to get out of hand. But again, I must tell you, your life will be in danger. Now, of course, you know and I know that if you had this or I have this, you know these guys want you out of the way.
Yes.
They want you out of the way, but
you
will have
to
do that. In fact, I've talked to the fellow, one of the higher officials of the Pentagon. He said he could, if I got someone else to handle this, he could put you in the witness protection program. Now, I know that sounds a little, you know, harsh.
Oh, but I've still got, so I would do the show maybe at some hidden location.
Oh, absolutely. You could do this thing from Air Force One, George. I mean, you know, they'll all...
But I like being where I am. I like Los Angeles. Like my friends and my studio, Doctor.
George, so did the fellow that became Pope. He didn't want to be Pope.
No, he didn't want to be Pope.
No, but he sacrificed, okay? He said, okay, I'll take it.
Well, we're going to take this break, Doctor. We're going to take this break. You know what commercials are because you have this very successful program. So you stay on the line with us. We'll be back with Dr. Morgus. His website, by the way, is Morgus. That's it, morgus.com. And he's also got a television show that we're going to talk with him about that will start again in New Orleans. This is a dramatic story all by itself. And I'll just take a few moments here to think about my responsibilities of taking over this petroleum capsule where you could just drop it into a tank of water and it turns into 92 octane. And we'll open up your phone lines, too. Let's give you an opportunity to talk with Dr. Momus Alexander Morgus.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, I just need 14 of you to push this over the top. You know, we had a goal of 100 children that we're going to sponsor for Children International, and we hit that goal last week. And let me tell you, the organization is thrilled to death with you. Thank you so much. But I, of course, opened up my mouth and said that we would get 200, and we're at 186 right now. So I need 14 of you to go to the coasttocoastam.com website, left-hand side, look at the yellow flashing banner, click that. If you can afford this, it's $18 a month. They'd like a year commitment out of you if you could. They'll only take $18 a month from you, however you set that up. And well on your way to sponsoring a child. That alone is a great feeling, but I want to go over 200, and I need at least 14 of you. So you can go to the coasttocoastam.com website, click the yellow flashing banner on the left-hand side, or call this toll-free number. It's your choice, 1-800-869-9863. That's 1-800-869-9863. Do this for me, and we'll go over the top tonight. And welcome back to Coast. We're going to take your phone calls now with Dr. Morgus. But first, Dr. Morgus, what do I need to do if I take this responsibility with this petrol pill that you've put together, thanks to help from the higher-ups? What do I have to do this?
Well, what you have to do, George, is sign up. You just have to agree to all of the rules of the higher order.
The conditions, yeah.
And represent what we're trying to do. We're trying to elevate the entire planet to a higher order. and we're trying to bring economic stability to America, George. That's what it's all about.
All right, I will take the challenge. I will run with it, Dr.
George, Marcus. You will do this.
I will do this for
I'm
you.
I'm telling you, I couldn't make you a saint because I don't have that kind of power, but I tell you what, you're going to be an icon, living or dead. You're going to be an icon.
Well, I hope it's living.
Well, you'll live a while. George will be protected in the witness protection program. Believe me, this is so sensational. I mean, no one's ever done anything like this. Put their life on the line for the benefit of the economic stability of their country.
Can I use my name?
There'll be monuments for you.
Can I still use my name on the radio show?
Absolutely.
All right.
The name Nouri, my gosh, there could be boulevards and, gosh knows, buildings and streets named after you. This will happen, George, if you had that kind of, stability and that kind of intelligence. And you are the right man, the most trustworthy person I've talked to in a long time.
I shall take it. Now, also, let me ask you this before we go to calls. Are you back on television in New Orleans again?
Yes, yes, you know, and all because of your program. I honestly say that once that happened, the word got out. You see, I was below the radar here. I was trying to stay low because we had all these things to relieve. I said, hold off, one day I'll talk to George again, and we're going to let it out when it's necessary. And, of course, the Cox Cable people heard about that.
Excellent.
They asked me to come back. You know, this is 46 years I've been doing this on and off of television, and, of course, I'm now on the Internet with the Morgus. With my website,
sure.
Which I think we should mention for a change, I think we should mention
Morgus.com.
Nothing more, yeah. Morgus.com. And I assume it's going to be hit by the thousands.
Oh, it is. It's probably jammed already. And I have still more surprises for you in the coming months, Dr. Morgus, because I have been working in your behalf. So we'll be in touch with you.
Well, listen, I tell you, George, you have about 10 million people that just heard you say that. So you have to be a man of your word.
Yeah, are you ready for some calls?
Okay, we're ready.
Well, we're going to pick it up, first of all, by going to, Tommy tells me, a little nine-year-old, Brandon, has the permission of his father. We do that, Dr. Morgus. When a youngster calls this show in the wee hours, we make sure the parent comes on the phone and talks to Tom, our line producer, and gives them permission to talk. We don't want these little kids hiding in their bedrooms with their parents asleep on the phone to us. So let's go to our wild card line. Hi there, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, Dr. Morgus is on the line, so ask him a question.
Hello, Brandon.
Hi.
Tell me something. What kind of question do you have for an intellectual scientist?
What made you like science so much?
Well, I tell you what, I was born that way. When I was a little boy, when I first came out of the womb here, I actually remembered the day I was born. That's the kind of intellect I had. And it was amazing because my mother was speaking to me months and months before I was born. And when I was born, I already knew and understood the language. I was ready to be a part of the world. In fact, I must tell you, Brandon, when I was 9 years old, I had already mastered what is called the differential calculus. Can you imagine such a thing? But I must say a tragedy happened. My parents died when I was 9 years old.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, I had to go out into the world on my own, Brandon, but it was quite difficult. So, you know what I did? Oh, that's clever. I pretended to be a midget. And then I got by with it. They thought I was a brilliant midget. So, you'll see what you can do. So, no matter what your age might be, I want you to study. I want you to remember that Dr. Morgus is now a friend of yours, okay?
Excellent.
You tell your friends that you will be in touch with me constantly. And we will see if we can't turn you into some sort of a genius at your age of 9, okay?
Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon. What do you think about my idea here of taking over Dr. Morgus's, actually it's the doctor's idea, but to run with this petroleum pill, Brandon?
Well, you know, Doctor, I don't think you should do it.
Why not?
Well, you might get killed, and they're trying to kill Dr. Morgus, too.
Well, we'll be safe. We'll be safe. Dr. Morgus has developed something to protect me.
You see, Brandon, when you become popular, when you become popular and you make a lot of money, people want to take it from you, you see. And that's why you have to be protected. You have to hide. You see, that's a price you pay for fame and for brilliance. But, you know, that's a sacrifice.
We'll be all right. Don't worry about us, Brandon. Hey, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
All right, bye. 9 years old. My little grandchild is 9 years
That's
old.
That's amazing.
Too. Is that? Great kids. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
I think you're going to need plastic surgery as well. This is Richard in Los Angeles.
Hey, Richard.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Morgus.
Hey, Richard, talk up a little louder.
It's an intellectual pleasure to talk.
Away from me, yeah.
It's an intellectual pleasure to talk with you. My question, I have actually two questions. The first question is, how dangerous are these petrol pills? Can you carry them in bulk? And could they eventually become like dope? Could people transport them? Could things happen?
Oh,
and if George needs a backup, I would be willing to be the backup.
Well, now that's interesting. George, I'd get his name and number because you never know if something could happen to you, maybe. I have to check him out if he's...
Okay, well, and we will because Richard will do that. Now, about the dangers, like you were saying? What if something goes awry?
You know, I knew somebody would come up with a negative question, and I think it's a brilliant one because one has to... You know, there's a negative to every positive, okay? So I must tell you, Richard, this is what, unfortunately, if someone gets a hold of the pill, what happens is there is, well, there's a cholinergic excitement that takes place when the pill hits H2O. You know what H2O is? That's water, okay? And I was thinking, oh, gosh, somebody's going to ask, what happens if somebody threw this into a hot tub?
Oh, my gosh. Or what if they tossed a whole bunch of them in a lake?
Well, that's just it. George, I wish you wouldn't mention things like that. It's just going to negativize this whole thing. But I must tell you,
we must have
a way to protect the pill. It may have to be government-controlled. I don't know whether we can sell these things in Walmart, but imagine if you could, and the way I think I'll work out it, because the membrane around it dissolves instantly. Within 30 seconds, it turns, it just causes a catalytic complete fusion, and it goes right through all the chemical structure. And it's just amazing to see it happen. But, again, something could be dangerous. And, of course, if some idiot got a hold of it, why, you know, it could cause a bit of damage. But I tell you what, we'll control it, George. This is what nothing is perfect when it's born. It has to be developed.
And I won't back down in my responsibilities, Doctor.
Well, I tell you what, you cannot back out now because you've already declared this. And by the way, this is being recorded by the Library of Congress tonight. I was told by the Pentagon that they wanted to put this in the library because they did record us the last time we spoke a few months ago so that the students of science could pick out whatever we covered.
Oh, really?
We covered an awful lot in about 2 hours last time.
And I guess once I'm in, huh?
It's a part of verbiage that will be listened to for years.
What's
anyway, Richard, I hope that answers and satisfies a very good question because it could be very dangerous, particularly, you know, if it works the way I have seen it work.
Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air with Dr. Morgus. Hi there.
Oh, good morning. What a wonderful night. It's such a thrill to take a peek into the higher inner sanctum. My major question is when you do, if you are already there, I've been burning batteries looking for you on my remote, but why don't you call your show Smorgasbord?
Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
Like you have a potpourri of everything.
Yes, smorgasbord. I have another comment. I still want an answer to that because I really want you to use that word, smorgasbord, because it's magical.
That is interesting.
Yes, interesting is a polite way to put it.
Thank you.
The other is that I've lived a major part of my life behind an ice house out in Gentilly. That ice house disappeared, sadly. And it was such a great place, even without their knowledge, to store, you know, body parts and, you know, chemical solutions and formulas. And so I lost, but I'm glad to hear that you still have access to the necessity of an ice house because people like you and I need that cooling effect upon our experimental elements.
Excellent. Another scientist, Dr. Morgus.
I think I could use him at the ice house. If, in fact, I may get his number also because it's here on my board. I can see it on my phone here. We know exactly who he is, so don't let any strangers call these lines. We'll know who you are. You know, you're dealing with scientists here.
Is this Ice House an old morgue?
Oh, listen, we have ice houses all over. What about our Detroit ice house? You know, we have Dr. Berlowski up there running the Detroit branch of MAMI, which is the Momus A. Morgus Institute of Science. It's an acronym, you know, MAMI. We call it MAMI. He runs the Detroit branch. So we're all over the place, and one day we'll take over an old ice house in every city because that's where all the good equipment is to keep the specimens. What is the next one?
First time caller line. Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Rosemary. I'm calling from White Rock, British Columbia.
Well, hello, Rosemary. Go ahead.
C-Fun 1410 listening.
Good to have you with us. Dr. Morgus is listening to you.
Oh, yeah? Well, it's such a thrill to be able to talk to you, George. I just started listening to you about a year ago. I hadn't heard about you before, but someone told me about it. He was a watchman on a night shift, and you used to entertain him quite a bit.
Well, good to have you with us.
Yeah, I just love your show. I think it's wonderful. You're very inspirational for people who are into the metaphysical world.
That's okay. Thanks. You have a question, though, for Dr. Morgus?
Yeah, I do, actually. I was wondering if he was going to put his stock on the stock market and give the oil companies a run for their money. And if he does, I'd like to buy some stock.
Well, we can't solicit stock on this program, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, that's too bad.
Uh-huh. But I'm sure you've thought about something like this, Dr. Morgus.
Well, she's talking to the CEO. You, George, you're the CEO.
I am?
Yeah, you could bring in investments, I must tell you. And by the way, George, we must name this gasoline. And
yes,
of course,
we will have a contest for that.
Maybe. Well, no, I won't allow that because I've already had the contest.
What do you mean?
I was talking.
I thought I was in charge of this.
Yeah, but I was talking to myself, George.
Oh.
And I think it should be called More Gas. Not More Gus, M-O-R-G-U-S, but M-O-R.
All right.
It's going to be that. I told the higher order it had to carry my name. I get nothing. You know, I'm working here.
Calm down, Doc.
I don't get a dime out of
all
this.
Right. Just understand.
Couldn't I just leave my name on this?
All right.
This
all right. That's
product.
Fine. We'll let the name be on there. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Bob from Wheat Ridge, Colorado.
Hey, Bob.
Formerly of Southgate, Michigan.
Oh, really? Okay. Know you well down there.
Yeah. I remember early Detroit TV, Johnny Ginger, Poop Deck Paul.
Oh, yeah. Soupy Sales, even.
Captain Jolly. Soupy was wonderful. At noontime, we'd come home and watch him.
Were you there when Dr. Morgus was on?
Yeah, I remember his teeth, actually. His teeth were very unusual.
They probably still are.
My question is if the doctor actually remembered the earliest Detroit horror late-night movie show called X, Shock Theater. The gentleman's name was X.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Do you remember that, Dr. Morgus? Were you in Detroit then?
I was there in the 60s, in the about 64, 63, 64, 65. And, of course, we were so busy with our lab work there. And one time they even forced me to be sort of the head of the Hudson Day Parade, you know.
I remember that. You also were doing weather on Channel 2.
Yes, I did the weather for a little while, you know, because, you know, my scientific background, they insisted on that. But that's amazing. This young man is talking about something 45 years ago. Oh, boy.
Well, we were trying to figure out, when we first saw you come on, we were trying to figure out who you were. We thought you might have been some other Detroit news personality. So I guess it clues me in a little bit, telling me you were a weatherman. But this guy came on, I was in first or second grade, and you just see his face. And he'd say, bar your windows, lock your doors, insulate yourselves against shock.
I love it. You know, television, Dr. Morgus, in those days, as simple as it was very clever and creative. I spent, after we did the interview, I spent hours looking at your DVDs. And I got to tell you, brought back great, great memories. But, I mean, I don't want to call them skits because they were real events, but I mean, what you put together was just so simple and artistic at the same time. And they don't do that now.
No, they can't do that now, you know, because first of all, you've got a whole, first of all, they are no longer they. They're not even there because corporates have taken over all the local stations, George. So consequently, there's very little creative work going on in the television. But, you know, when they see something intellectual, they have to use it. They're forced to use it because the public demands it. That's why if you do something well like your show, it's going to stay on. But they'll try to, you know, shoot holes in it. But you just have to stay ahead of them. I enjoy the television because it gives me a chance to reach the my friends of science.
Can I ask you something? Because it has been, you've been doing this for a long time. Like you say, 40 years, maybe more. Have you ever washed your lab coat?
Oh, no, George. No, George, everything you see on my lab coat is like a badge. You know, these are parts of experiments. Some of them have gone awry.
Many have gone awry.
But I can look. Right now I'm looking at my lab coat here, and I've got blood here. I've got stains. I can identify every one of them. I can tell you what experiment it was.
You did it.
This may sound a bit loony, but believe me, it's honest. I have a great memory.
You did some kind of experiment on someone who was losing his hair, and all of a sudden, Doctor, something went wrong. He went bald.
Yeah, that was, you know, things go wrong, you know. You know, even if you get up the wrong side of the bed, things can go wrong. But in science, you know, science is not a complete thing. In fact, the word science means experimentation. It means there's no end, there's no complete completeness to the word science or to the science experimental efforts. So therefore, if something doesn't go wrong, it's not finished yet. You can't say, oh, look what happened. He failed.
That is
no,
so
he's not
true.
Finished.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Morgus. Dr. Morgus, your website, morgus.com. It may be a little slow because millions are trying to log on, but eventually you'll be able to get in there.
Well, we give a lot of information there, and they can also buy my famous CD, which is called Hersery Rhymes, which I wrote. By the way, I'm the only living member of the Dead Poets Society. And I wrote all of these poems, and they're marvelous things
to
listen to.
Dr. Morgus, let's be in touch, my friend, and I will take the challenge, and I'll investigate and run with the petroleum pill. More gas.
We'll be in touch.
Thanks. Could make me a billionaire. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Phone numbers, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. The first one was for west of the Rockies, by the way. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721 in the wildcard line, 818-501-4109, and I'll give you a special topic line and the reason for it when we come back.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.